This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, Michael. The Thunder are done flopping for the season. The Spurs take them down. Hopefully, we're in store for a really good NBA Finals. The Rockies get us a couple of games closer. They won two games. They win a series against the Giants. We need eight more dubs, Mike. When will we be shaving our faces? All that. Also, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, the voice of reason when it comes to college sports, will join me as well. Von Miller, give it a whirl for the Broncos, or is there not enough room for the great number 58? The whole show starts now. Good Monday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Man, we're going to have some fun today. It's June 1st, Michael. I know the first official day of summer is like, what is it? June 20th or something like that, Mike? But I always just look at it as once the graduations hit, once Memorial Day is over, we cross over in the calendar to June. Summer is upon us, Mike. Summer is upon us, and in the sports person's mind, you got 2 months of summer. You got 2 months of summer because once we get into August, our brains start to shift into that fall mindset when it comes to football and everything else.
Yeah, it kind of feels the same way with winter, too. Winter, it feels like December 1st,
yep.
That's winter, even though it's December 21st.
Yeah. No, I tend to look at it more like that. When does your brain shift into fall mode in August? I mean, because you're still going to be dealing with 100-degree days, and it's still really hot. But for me, once we get through the Greeley Stampede, you get through the 4th of July, Broncos training camp starts up, summer quickly dissolves. So it's like June is full-on summer. July, yeah, pretty much full-on summer. But knowing that we have college football in the following month. You get that last weekend of August. Mentally, I'm already like thinking quarter four, even though quarter four starts in October. But I'm still kind of mentally checking off summer once we get through July. But we're here now. We're here for the summer. And unfortunately, we don't have the Avalanche or the Nuggets helping us get through some of these summer weeks, I should say.
We have an Avalanche hat.
You have an Avalanche hat.
Yeah, it was supposed to come like a week ago. I should have had it on Monday last week, but it came late.
Because you assumed, of course, the Avs were going to be playing in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I assumed, and looks like the mail did not assume. I don't know whose fault it was. It was probably the manufacturer. They were probably out of hats.
It doesn't matter. But we finished up our high school baseball season two. Man, we had some fantastic broadcasts. Kyle and Bruce on Friday, and then Jerry and Bruce on Saturday. It was, dude, I'm telling you, the broadcasts they're putting together are second to none. We're driving around on Saturday, and we've got KFKA on. We're listening to the 3A state championship game, Michael, and my mother-in-law looks over. She's like, is that like a Major League Baseball broadcast that you guys have on the station right now? I was like, nope, that's Jerry and Bruce bringing us state championship coverage. That's just how good they are. You listen, if you haven't listened and you just tune in randomly, you're going to think that they're calling like a big monster game, Major League Baseball style. That's how good they are, Mike.
Yeah, both guys actually missed. Bruce was all by his lonesome.
On Friday.
Friday. Just blowout of Eton. Yeah. A university blowing out Eton was such a shock.
Crazy. Because Eton's just been a juggernaut for so long, and if they do lose, it's usually not by much. But yeah, how, shout out to University. So exciting, you know, Preps baseball's over. We're now breaking. You know, I know Coach Bruce Dick will continue having excellent interviews throughout the summer, talking to past champions, coaches, players, all of it. But we'll start shifting into the football mindset probably mid-July, if you can believe that. That's how fast it moves. And you know what happens this month? The Greeley Stampede, I believe, starts up on July 24th. Does that sound right? We're going to be giving tickets away, courtesy of Interior Sprinkler Systems. You've heard me talk about them a lot. They sponsored the Brock Wisney Show. They're a regular sponsor here on the whole show. They're also going to make it possible for us to be giving away tickets leading up to these wonderful events. And today, I have some PRCA rodeo tickets for Thursday, June 25th at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be hooking up somebody later on in the program with that. We also still have our sports trivia, courtesy of Mr. Money Greeley, where you're going to register for a 1-in-5 shot by Friday to get the $50 in Mr. Money Greeley cash, also a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse. So we're going to be giving stuff away a lot here on the show and throughout the days here on KFKA, leading you into the wonderful Greeley Stampede. So thanks again to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Michael, starting to get tired of the beard, starting to get there. We're approaching the time where it's harder to manage. It's unruly. It's sticking out all over the place. The hair is made up its own mind. It's doing its own thing. No matter how much I try to comb it in the morning, it has its own thing going. Fortunately, the Rockies win a crazy game on Friday night, down 6-3, headed to the bottom of the ninth. And it's Hunter Goodman ends up hitting a two-run home run to tie the game, or a three-run home run to tie the game. And then Ezekiel Tovar walks off the San Francisco Giants, and the Rockies get the series win. Sunday doesn't count. They were just absolutely destroyed. But they get the series win. They got to 22 wins before we turned over the calendar to June, Michael. We have to be feeling like we're very much ahead here at this stage. And seeing guys like Tovar step up, like, I don't know what the season's going to look like. They're still in the basement. They play another near-basement team coming up starting tonight against the Angels. But still, very much improved baseball team from a season ago. And we're way ahead of our hashtag Dirty 30 quest, way further than I kind of thought we would be here on June 1st.
I thought it would be the 31st of July. I thought that the Rockies would turn it on in the late summer months. But they're turning it on Turning it on for them.
For them, this is very much turning it on. Yeah, winning two out of their last three. We'll just leave it at that because it was a rough go because they lost the four-game series to Arizona, lost the series to the Dodgers, but beating the Giants was a nice change of pace. Eight more wins, Mike. Any date prediction for me now? Eight more wins. Any ideas when you think we're shaving?
I'm going to go June 30th. That is the earliest I've gotten. The earliest I've predicted. It was July 31st. Then it was July 8th. Still think it's going to be closer to July, but June 30th.
A sweep here of Los Angeles would increase our chances of being done by my birthday, which was my goal, was June 17th, and that's about 2.5 weeks away. The 17th, they finish a series against the Cubs. Eight more wins. If we can get, I would say it'd be nice to get three wins this week. It's going to be tough because if you can't do it against Los Angeles, the Angels, Milwaukee's going to be difficult, and Chicago's going to be difficult. However, they start a series up at the end of the week, on Friday, I believe, against the Athletics, who are a much improved baseball team. They're playing about .500 baseball right now, so that's not really a gimme. It would be nice to get a sweep here of Los Angeles, but when you say, well, Los Angeles is bad, well, the Rockies are worse. So I would be happy if they find a way to get three wins by Sunday this week. get win the series, find a way to win the series against Los Angeles. Freeland's going to the mound tonight. And then Milwaukee, can you steal one between the Milwaukee and Chicago series? That would be the question. And I've got it all. Yeah, I've got this all messed up in my mind. I was looking at a different month. They start the Milwaukee series on Friday, Mike. So they're off Thursday. That does us no good. They have a couple of off days coming up in the next 2 weeks. Off days in a challenge like this are basically losses, because that's just another day where you're guaranteed to not move the needle. So you've got Los Angeles and Milwaukee this week. Can you win two against Los Angeles and steal one against Milwaukee? Maybe. We'll see. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. On the basketball side of things, Michael, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're done, officially, flopping for the season. The Spurs knocked them off, winning 111-103.
They got flopped out of the playoffs.
In their final game. And Victor Wembanyama, very emotional, at the end of the game, crying, almost as if they'd already won the finals. Some people have an issue with that because they look at how the Knicks handled their business compared to the Spurs. I mean, going to the finals... We're used to it with the Nuggets, where Joker doesn't show any emotion when it comes to winning or losing. He's just kind of neutral all the time. We're not used to seeing the star of a team actually break down and cry and just really feel that moment. I don't have an issue with it, and nobody picked anybody to beat the Thunder. Before the season began, during the season, it kind of felt like it was an avalanche-type situation, where it was a foregone conclusion the Avs and or the Thunder were going to be in their finals. And in winning a series like that in a Game 7, forcing the Game 7 and then winning on the road at OKC, that's a pretty great moment. Now, they got to follow it up and win a title, but nobody thought this team would be this far ahead in their process. And the bad news for Nuggets fans, the bad news for the rest of the league, is I think the Spurs are just getting started. And we might see a championship run. I'm not going to say similar to what we saw with the Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Ginobili days. I think it's not going to be as much. It's not going to be as spread out. I wouldn't be shocked if the Spurs are winning a couple titles here in the next 5 years. Then again, I thought that about the Thunder. And the Thunder are still very much in the mix to win another title here in the next 3 or 4 years. Contracts and everything like that you have to pay attention to. But I was glad to see the Thunder lose. I wanted to see a good series. For the most part, it was. But you still had Shea and up to his typical antics, falling down like crazy. I mean, I saw a tweet over the weekend from Robert Griffin III. I'm a fan of his. I follow him on X. And he just said, Shea has a chance to be in the same conversations as the Kobe's and the Jordans. And he said that there's a special opportunity for him. He's a special player. He said, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander mid-range game is the closest thing we have to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, but you all are not ready for that conversation. And here's what I said to that. Yeah, he could be special. He kind of is special, but he has to stop falling down. He has to have some freaking pride. I think that he'd actually be much better of a basketball player if he'd focus on making the shots rather than getting the foul calls. I think because he has that ability. He didn't always do that early in his career. So I think he could be a special player, but that is going to stain his image for as long as he continues to play like that. He could play the next 3 seasons, fall free. It would still be his reputation. That would still be his reputation. He's going to have to turn his career around. He's an MVP. He's a 2-time MVP. He's a champion. You can't take any of that away from him. He's an amazing player, but his reputation is tarnished right now. And it'll continue to be so until he changes the way he plays basketball slightly.
It's the same way with LeBron. LeBron, to me, is the only one who can come close to touching Kobe and Jordan. But he flops too.
Not like Shea.
If he would focus more on his game.
He doesn't flop like Shea.
No, flops though and complains.
Not the way Shea does it. When there's a difference. There's flopping without the ball. There's flopping when your feet are set. LeBron, when he decides he's going to the rim, and this was early on in his career, maybe not as much now, he is not going to be stopped. He is going to go as hard as he possibly can, try to get a dunk in, crazy reverse layup. He is focused. Shea's problem is, a good majority of the time, he goes up with the shot or he pump fakes, and once that body goes up in the air because of the pump fake, he's leaning in to create that contact. He's not going. He does that at such a different clip than I've seen any player do. And I know you can say, well, Brady, Luka gets the free throw line just as many times. Does Luka flop? Yeah. But what was that stat we pulled up? Was it Yahoo Sports, Michael, that documented the amount of players falling? And Shea was like, the dude actually went and counted through the playoffs how many times the top five floppers actually fell to the ground. And Shea won on both misses and makes, hands down. So I was on Good Morning NoCo this morning with Brian and Tanner, and they asked, like, is this a good thing for the NBA that the Thunder have been knocked out? Well, that's not really a bad thing, because the Thunder were receiving such a negative reaction from any fan that was not a Thunder fan, more so than I remember any team getting as far as heat. Thunder fans will tell you, they just don't like us because we're good now and we're stacked. Mm-mm, not right now. Now, that might be true if you would have won another title and then we get fatigue. You know, we hated Golden State after a while. We hated the Patriots after a while. That's not why people don't like the Thunder right now. They don't like the Thunder because it's not just Shea. It's several players on this roster that get away with murder on the defensive end, which I have no problem with how they play defense. And then they get the calls that not a lot of people get throughout the season, throughout the playoffs. That's why people can't stand the Thunder. And how about Chet Holmgren, who just signed that big deal and that kicks in next season? He was a no-show for the most part of this series. And in a game seven, when they needed somebody to go along with Shea, who had 35 points, he came up with four. And he shot the ball. He had two shots, Michael. He was absolutely intimidated by the way Wimby was shutting down the paint. And it was just, it was a gross performance by him. And that's one of the major reasons it cost you a game seven and a trip to the NBA Finals for the second time in a row. 23 minutes after the hour, Michael, we'll take a short break here. Before we do, I want to thank one of our excellent sponsors, and that is On the Rocks Liquor. They've got your summer flavor at On the Rocks Liquor. Stop by. They do their free wine and beer tastings every Friday. Now's the time. You want to try something new. We are officially in. I know officially in summer is the 20th or whatever, but the first day of June really means we're starting to get into that summer mode. On the Rocks Liquor will be ready for you as they're bringing in a lot of their summer flavors each and every single day throughout the next couple of months. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. All right, coming up next, the NBA is in a weird spot. Adam Silver continues to deny that there's flopping going on. Can the Spurs-Knicks series really change a narrative where that's not our focus? It's just a focus between two really good teams. The Knicks have won 11 in a row. But the Spurs dethroned the Wicked Witch of Oklahoma, and that is the Thunder. Something's going to give. Will it be a great series, or will it be a dud? And how much does the NBA need it to be a great series? We'll be right back.
A free gift for Dad this Father's Day? Make sure he subscribes to the best podcasts in the state. Find KFK Podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFK.com. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310KFK.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
26 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. NBA Finals, we know, are going to be set. We've got the Knicks and the Spurs playing on Wednesday. But, Michael, I was going to save this for top stories of the day, or we normally would, but this is breaking news. We got breaking news here. Yeah, Faith. Pretty interesting news here on a Monday. The Cleveland Browns are finalizing a trade that will send two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett, to the Los Angeles Rams for two-time Pro Bowl pass rusher Jared Verse, a 2027 first-round pick, and other draft compensation that still is being negotiated, sources told NFL Network's Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero and Adam Schefter. Whoo, that's a blockbuster trade, isn't it? Jared, Miles, Cross, I mean, two really, really good players. Obviously, Myles Garrett's kind of in a league of his own. This is what the Rams do, though. Sean McVay kind of has the famous phrase. I don't even know if he actually said that, but the F them picks thing. They're trying to load up and win it now.
You probably said F that pick in the first round this year.
Yeah, they didn't do great in their picks this year. At least it was a little dramatic in how it was, you know, picking, of course, Ty Simpson with a 13th pick overall when they know Matt Stafford's coming back. But, you know, quarterback of the future.
Sit there and learn.
Yeah, learn behind Matt Stafford for, you know, a year or so.
You know, Matt Stafford's body finally gives out on him.
Mm-hmm. Boy, the Rams were good last year. Is that the kind of move that that puts them over the top? Could be. I mean, Jared Verse was had what, 7 sacks last year? 7.5 sacks? But he's not Myles Garrett. Not many are, Michael. So they just go from a really good pass rusher to one of the great pass rushers who had 23 sacks last year, Mike, and the record.
Yeah, the record, which both records, the one that was won in the early 2000s, that was BS. We all know Favre just kind of like, I fell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this last record was also kind of a, I fell.
Yeah, but what was...
I want him to get the record. He's close enough.
I don't. I know we can. Should there be an asterisk next to a record that's just kind of given to you?
No.
No,
well, there should be a fan asterisk.
Yeah. Well, there is. There's definitely a fan asterisk on the Michael Strahan time, but doesn't matter now. Garrett got it. 23 sacks for him last year, and now he is a member of the Los Angeles Rams. What does that do for their playoff chance, or for their Super Bowl champion chances, Super Bowl odds, I should say? It doesn't hurt it, I'll tell you that. That's got to make them, I mean, sometimes one big piece like that, and this is a big piece, can change everything. And the Rams were going to be a playoff team, probably picked to be one of the favorites out of the NFC side of things, and then you add Myles Garrett to the list. Yeah. That's a big, big move. According to ESPN, the Rams' interest in Garrett was sparked shortly after the Browns modified the contract of the 7-time Pro Bowl defensive end in March, pushing back the options bonuses from the 15th day of the league year in March to 7 days before the start of the regular season, making it easier to trade him. Now, with the Rams, was it more of a, or with the Browns, is that more of the Browns acknowledging where they are as a franchise right now? Like, we're not going anywhere. So having Myles Garrett is awesome, but that's not going to win. Garrett, like, we've talked about this with, like, Von Miller. Those are great pieces to have on your team when they're at their best. They're great. Can you win it all when your best, by far, player is a pass rusher? It's hard to do. It's hard to
win a game.
You could win a game. You can win a moment. You can win several moments that could lead you to winning a game. But, you know, a lot of times if you're a bad football team, too, what happens when you're down a lot, you're not like teeing off. A lot, you remember, Vaughn got a lot of sacks because the Broncos would be up and he could tee off. That's not taking anything away from him, but it's just, it's an easier mindset for pass rushers when they know, okay, they kind of have to abandon the run here because they're down two scores and we're mid third quarter. They're going to have to start throwing the ball a little bit more. That's when your pass rushers start teeing off. So the fact that Myles Garrett on a bad football team got 23 sacks is still pretty impressive.
Also, the Broncos were a lot more talented on the defensive line in the 2015 season than they were afterwards. So that kind of hurt Von Miller. He didn't have a big fat guy up the middle who was as talented.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty significant story to start our Monday off, Michael, a blockbuster trade. I mean, now what I'm reading is that the Rams were not initially interested in moving on from Verse because they obviously he's a really good player. He's a really good player, but this is also the Rams saying, hey, we're going to go all in for Matt Stafford's maybe final year. We're going to go all in. We're going to upgrade that position because Verse is good. Myles Garrett is Hall of Fame, legendary type player.
So I think the real question is, what quarterback will the Cleveland Browns be choosing in the draft this next year?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I was going to save that one, Faith, for top stories of the day. We'll get to that one, too. But there's a lot of NFL news here. It's the 1st of June, so this is what we see. You know, you typically see a lot of these deals hitting in June because of the way the contracts are and everything. So for the Browns, I mean, you still get a pretty good player in Verse, but you're going to get a first-round draft pick in 2027. And other, probably, but still, just for the sake of this argument of what they're doing for it, that's not a bad move for the Browns. I mean, Browns fans might be like, what the hell? But I would ask you the question, how many games do you think you're really going to win? Do you think you're going to be anything based, you know, with just Myles Garrett? Or do you downgrade slightly, maybe, it's not a major downgrade. This is a very good pass rusher that you got. And you also get a first-round draft pick and other draft compensation that's still being negotiated. So there could be some seconds in there. I don't know. Because I would imagine Myles Garrett is the kind of guy that yields that's a pretty good haul. You get a good player. You give a good player. And your 2027 first-round draft pick. And maybe other draft picks, too. You have to do it.
I mean, I would trade a first-rounder this year and a third rounder this year and swap like a fifth for a third in, you know, the next year. He's very, very valuable. So is his contract.
Does that make the Rams a favorite to win the Super Bowl this year?
This certainly helps them. This is going to take them from top 10 to maybe top 5.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams were good last year. What did they do last year? Did they lose in the was it the NFC? Did they make it to the NFC Championship? Yeah, they did. They lost to Seattle, 31-27. That move probably puts them over the hump.
I can tell you what week he's not going to get any sacks.
What week is that?
September 27th. Against the Broncos.
Wait, really?
That makes that PM game even more interesting.
You don't think Myles Garrett's going to get a sack against the Broncos?
No. They're going to put
some money on that?
You know I don't gamble.
No, I would imagine even if the Broncos win that game, Myles Garrett's going to have at least a sack. Although, you know, Bo doesn't take a lot of sacks. He does a pretty good job of that. How will that change, though, with Anklegate? Michael, any updates from Bo's ankle on Twitter?
Bo's ankle says he's fine.
Mm.
He was actually shopping for shoes over the weekend.
Is that a real story or are you just saying stuff?
That's a Jay Cutler joke.
I don't... Refresh my mind.
Jay Cutler got hurt in the playoffs. I think it was against the Packers. Didn't play the entire second half or something. He was out for a significant amount of time in a game and then went shoe shopping like a couple days later.
What's wrong with that? Yeah, you got to go shoe shopping sometime. Is there a,
well,
there
was,
a time you're not supposed
to? Well, it was a huge controversy back then.
That he went shoe shopping?
Well,
I don't even remember
he
this
was
story.
Hurt and then...
Was that when he was with the Broncos?
He had a lower leg injury and then he went out and started shopping for shoes a couple days later.
Was that with the Broncos?
No.
It was with the Bears. And the well, yeah, there was a lot of people that wondered if he could have played, whatever. Still got to go. Can he not walk anymore? Oh, you have a lower body injury, so it means you should not be seen in public walking ever? I mean, Bo Nix was playing basketball. That's what I've heard. Not too long after, you know, he had his surgery. Well,
it was all cleaned
enough.
Up.
We got to clean up surgery before or after the basketball thing. From the things I've heard out there. I think the ankle thing is just a... Until I really get some concrete evidence, I think there are people that are just looking for something. And I'm the guy that's not on the whole Bo Nix is obviously the franchise. I'm the guy who's like, he might be. Or he might be Jay Cutler or Jake Plummer type guy. He might be one of those dudes. He could, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are like, wow, this is the new Elway Peyton Manning. I would settle for Jake Plummer. If Bo came out and had a career, like the what was he, Plummer with the Broncos for what, 3 or 4 years? If Bo Nix has a career expanded, like an 8-year career similar to what we packed a punch in with Jake Plummer, I would take that. I would take that because Plummer was a hell of a player.
He was. I think he got kind of railroaded in that last year.
He got a raw deal.
Yeah, it was not. I didn't think it was his fault that the Broncos offensively weren't great. They struggled in the run game.
They were pretty good. Most of that season, they went to the AFC Championship and lost to the Steelers. They were pretty good. In fact, I remember Jake Plummer at the halfway point, Mike. There was talks of like offensive MVP. You know, maybe. There's like whispers of it. And it kind of slowed down for them, but they were a really good football team. They just got smoked by the Steelers, who went on to win the Super Bowl after that. But
was that the year they beat
the Patriots?
Patriots in
yeah,
the
that was
round?
When Champ had that 99-yard interception return almost for a touchdown.
Which may or may not have been
a touchback. Yeah.
I mean, nowadays we'd know. There are so many cameras on the field and in the stands.
Yep.
But back then, it
could've
was like
been.
You had three angles and none of them on the goal line.
And Champ was exhausted. Remember, he could barely move by the time he got to like the 5-yard line. He had ran out of gas.
He was probably already running on that play.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're moving around a lot, and then you get that pick, and then you take it. Wasn't it 99? Didn't he go 99 yards?
Yeah, 99 yards.
Yeah, it was a hell of a play.
And he chased down embarrassingly by a linebacker, not a linebacker, a tight end.
Yep. Well, we'll see. The Bo Nix ankle story is interesting. It always for some. I haven't spent a lot of time on it because I everything they've said so far has not been misleading. It's like OTAs. You know, we're going to be careful. Should be good by training camp. If he's not good by training camp, then I will be willing to have that discussion with you. But what am I supposed to do? Get on here and say, oh, no, doctors and the team are telling us that he'll be good by training camp. You want me to get on this show and say, no, that's not correct. I'm not a doctor, Michael. I'm not a member of that coaching staff. It's not a real story yet. So stop panicking and freaking out. And I've seen that from too many media members in the last 4 months.
Well, there's not much to write about.
The Rockies just won a series.
Okay. How many wins do they have on the season?
22.
Oh, 22. They're the worst team in baseball.
The Avalanche have a lot of questions and have not fired. When is that press conference, by the way? Have not fired Jared Bednar yet. I would imagine the longer this thing goes, the better chances of Jared Bednar coming back are. That's a big story. The Jared Bednar story is bigger than Bo Nix's ankles. Or ankle. The Nuggets' future is bigger than Bo Nix's ankle. Changes in the college sports world is probably bigger than Bo Nix's ankle. There's a lot of things that are bigger stories in the sports world in the state of Colorado that are, hell, I think the CSU transition to the Pac-12 is a bigger story than Bo Nix's ankle. I know you're going to argue with me because it's all Broncos, but...
No, if, I agree. I agree on that.
If there was news today that said Bo Nix is going to miss training camp, that is now the biggest story in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, especially since he's not one of those coaches that holds players out. He's just like, let's put our players in.
So that would be a story if that happens. But right now, there has been nothing that's changed. OTAs, we're going to be cautious. We hope we plan on him being full go by training camp. If that changes, we'll let you know. And if that changes, that becomes a bigger story. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the late. Hey, I got news, though, coming back. Former Broncos quarterback is going to be joining the media. We'll get into that discussion coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-seven minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Well, a former Bronco is going to be on the media side of things, Michael. Russell Wilson is set to join CBS Sports as an NFL analyst coming up next season. So his career as a player is officially over, certainly fizzled, maybe even worse than fizzled.
I mean, that's what we were saying about Jay Cutler, and then the Dolphins called.
No, Russell's done. Russell's
done.
I mean, he went that route already. Jay didn't quite go that route of will he or won't he? Is he a backup? Is he a starter? He never really went that route. Russ has already been through that route, basically from his time from Denver through. And, you know, how many different teams was he on after the Broncos, Mike? Was it the Steelers and the Giants? Was that it? Yeah.
I guess there was speculation that he would he'd be with the Jets this year.
Yeah, right? He had an offer on the table from the Jets to join the team as a backup to Geno Smith. Yeah, no,
I'd rather talk about
good
football.
For him. I think that's a good decision. You know, move on. Is he a Hall of Famer? Not in my mind.
No. And even with Seattle, I'd say you have to do a little more.
Will he be, though? Now, again, no. The Hall of Fame is way different than the actual NFL Hall of Fame.
He will not be in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's definitely not in the Hall of Fame. No, nobody gets in the Hall of Fame without my signing off on it, Michael. And I'm not signing off on Russell Wilson. One more Super Bowl, maybe, probably, but especially with a different team. But he didn't do it. He had that chance in front of him when he went to the Broncos, but actually the way things happened for him after the fact just kind of made it worse. That clip's pretty long, isn't it, Mike? We don't have time to play right now, do we? I want to hear... I'll tell you what, we're good. Russell Wilson was on a podcast, Michael. Was it one of the Barstool podcasts? I don't know. It was one, so many damn podcasts. Talking about just how kind of things went when he was with the Denver Broncos. Here's Russell Wilson.
The history of being in Denver, like, it was challenging. I tore 80-90% of my lat on my right side trying to throw, but it was hard, bro. It was like, I was bad every throw. Ugh. But, like, you know, I'm a competitor. I'm old school. I believe that the quarterback's supposed to be on the field no matter what the circumstances are. The unfortunate part is we lost, like, 9 games by, like, 5-6 points or less, you know, which, like, in Seattle, we always won them. But, okay, you go through that first year, and it is what it is. And then here comes Sean Payton. I'm super excited about that. Like, we're having candlelit dinners and watching film together, red zone, this, that, and the other, just sitting there, like, in his office, like, and everything's going great. And all of a sudden, you know, I think I'm second in AFC or second in NFL in touchdown passes, but our record's not very good. And all of a sudden we got on a hot streak, and like we felt like we were one of the hotter teams in football. And I felt like I was like, I'm me again fully. There's a tricky situation where they want to make a business decision and say, we're going to bench you for the rest of your last 9 games if you don't change your injury guarantee. I'm like, wait, what? I remember playing Monday Night Football. They said, okay, you're going to play this game. Like, am I going to play the next one? So they're like, all right, we don't know. We've gotten on a hot streak. We've started to beat these teams. So like, wait, what do you mean? Like, so like, I remember making a double spin move, going to the back corner to Cortland Sutton, fourth down. He makes a crazy catch. And I just remember, I don't really ever talk you know, and I'm like, and I remember coming to the sideline. I was like, you must not know me. You know, and there's really only one person I'm talking to in that moment, you know, but you know, what's crazy is that, like, man, I wouldn't trade any of that because of the relationships, the people that I got to be close with. They obviously have Bo now, who's done an amazing job, stayed in touch with him a little bit. And just, I don't have any jealousy in my heart. It's like, man, go shine, bro. Like this, that, and the other. And I think a big part of it is when you give to others is always a return back to you.
Yeah.
I like him better as a media member than as a Bronco.
I think he might be pretty good. Now, if he can get away from the... I mean, he was a little annoying. I think people thought he was annoying before I did. I liked a lot of the goofiness for a bit. The Broncos country, let's ride. The Wolverine blood. I didn't mind it. And then as his career just got worse with Denver, it started to become a thing. So,
Yeah,
it'd be
take
fine.
But I would have gotten along with him really well, personality-wise.
Do you think if he would have went somewhere else, instead of joining Nathaniel Hackett in his first year as a quarterback, his history would be a little bit different? Or was that where he was at that point in his career?
I think it's column A, column B.
Food for thought. All right, we'll wrap up hour number one. I got sports trivia coming up. We'll do that in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, top stories of the day. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. All that coming up here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right, so the question is, we're gonna fire up a question today. Let me know, is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer? You just let me know. Shoot me a couple of ideas as to why you think Russell Wilson is a Hall of Famer. Coming up, we got the top stories of the day. Also, Mark Johnson. And how much should the Broncos push to try to bring Von Miller back, or at all? All that coming up next. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.